Now, exciting new research from the WA Organic and Isotope Geochemistry Centre at Curtin University has revealed the processes of which caused the end of the Triassic era more than 200 million years ago. PhD graduate Dr. Callum Peter Fox led the research, which revealed an increase in acid and hydrogen sulfide levels in the ocean led to mass marine extinction. To tell us more about the research and what was found, we're joined by Dr. Callum Peter Fox. Thank you very much for joining us on The Record this morning.
Thanks very much for having me.
So can you give us an overview about what the research was about?
So basically, as you mentioned, around 200 million years ago, we had this major mass extinction. And that's quite important to study because we're actually going for a mass extinction event now. So what we're trying to find is how the environment changed and how ecology's changed as well.
So what...
By using these... Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, sorry. You continue, please.
So I was just going to say, by using these molecular fossils, we basically found that we had this toxigen hydrogen sulfide, you know, which is even toxic for humans. You know, we had these sort of mass levels of this going through the ocean, which would have killed a lot of marine life, as well as evidence of acidification as well, which is, of course, really important, as we can see effects of that today on the Great Barrier Reef as well.
So can you walk us through the process of how you learnt what the factors were?
So basically, what we do is we just take... Our samples came from rocks on the beach, basically. So our samples came from the UK, and that's basically where I'm from is where we collected the samples, really. And we're quite unfortunate that there we have a load of rocks on our beach instead of beautiful sands. But so we take these rocks, we just basically powder them down, and we extract all this organic material from the rocks. And within that organic material, we basically have these molecular-sized fossils. So these are fossils which are smaller than blood cells, and you can't see them through a microscope. We actually have to use different analytical techniques to be able to find these fossils. And based on what bacteria and algae are living today, we're basically able to make a comparison to what we find in the fossil records.
That's absolutely amazing that you can just use all this technology to find out so much information about our past, something that happened millions of years ago.
Yeah. I mean, it's, when I started doing this research, it always kind of blew my mind that I could stick a USB stick in a computer and, you know, send emails and all of that. I always thought that was, like, super cool. And then, you know, you're looking at stuff which is, you know, you basically can't see it. You know, you have to go through all these sorts of loops to be able to try and find what's there. And with the technology we have today, we can really accurately find these fossils and be able to tell what was living during this time and how they actually responded to the changes in global warming, massive release of carbon dioxide and sulfate aerosols and all of these sort of big environmental changes that were going on during this time period.
So can you tell us a bit more about how these two mechanisms of acid and hydrogen sulfide led to the mass extinction?
Yeah, so basically there's been 5 mass extinction events in Earth history. And it's kind of, at least for this one and the one that preceded at the end, Permian mass extinction, this hydrogen sulfide poisoning is basically becoming quite an apparent mechanism which killed off all this marine life. But basically what you have is you have this hydrogen sulfide is being formed when our water columns get starved of oxygen. And already the water columns being starved of oxygen is a major ecological stress anyway. But basically what this starvation of oxygen allows microbes in the sediments to do is to pump out this hydrogen sulfide. And eventually what happens is that hydrogen sulfide, which is really toxic, extends from the sediments and then extends through the water column until we get to the sunlit region of the water column, which is, you know, where a lot of marine life live and where a lot of algae, which photosynthesize, live, which is obviously important for oxygen in the atmosphere as well. You know, every second breath that we take today is responsible because of algae that live in the oceans. So, you know, this is obviously a major ecological stress, but what we actually found evidence for 200 million years ago was that this hydrogen sulfide extended right the way through the water column, much higher, or it's much shallower depths than was previously thought. So that was obviously a major stress for the marine life that was living there. And then on top of the acidification as well, which is really detrimental for these organisms, which, you know, use hard calcium carbonate shells, you know, like mussels, oysters, these sorts of organisms. You know, they just basically, this acidification inhibits them from actually forming their shells as well. So you sort of have this double whammy, you know, it's like being punched, you know, from both sides at the same time, basically. And, you know, this major ecological stress, you know, it just basically, basically was just a factor which killed off a lot of life in the marine realm.
You're listening to On The Record, and I'm joined by Dr. Callum Peter Fox from Curtin University, and we're discussing the exciting new research which revealed two major drivers that led to the mass extinction event 201 million years ago. Now, you were saying there about the rising levels of hydrogen sulfide in the ocean was extremely toxic. How does this impact future marine life?
Well, it's really interesting, actually, because obviously a lot of people are aware of ocean acidification. You know, I don't go diving myself, but I have a lot of friends that do, and even they're telling me the impacts about coral bleaching. But this hydrogen sulfide is a process which not a lot of people are aware of. And basically, in studying these previous mass extinction events, we're able to try and help hypothesize how our environment and how our environments might change in the coming years. Now, one thing that's important to stress is that this mass extinction event, you know, they're not sort of happening on human timescales, they're happening on geological timescales. So we're talking, you know, around about tens of thousands of years that we had this hydrogen sulfide poisoning effect in the oceans. But it's certainly something to consider, considering that this time period is actually being used as an ancient analog to how CO2 increases, or it's basically being used as a model how our CO2 is increasing today. There's actually a paper which came out very recently that's linking our CO2 increases today to that which actually caused the Triassic mass extinction. So, you know, I don't think there's any cause for panic. You know, it's not going to be... this toxic hydrogen sulfide isn't just going to form globally in the oceans tomorrow, you know. There's going to be a process that takes a very long time, but it's also something that we need to be aware of in terms of, you know, curbing our CO2 reduction and all of this sort of stuff. You know, it's a factor that could play in, you know, later on as CO2 increases.
It's amazing to think that these two main driving forces caused a mass marine extinction over 200 million years ago, and we have such extensive marine wildlife now. It's amazing how the ocean and marine life was able to come back from that point.
Yeah. I mean, there were some really sort of big organisms which were impacted. You know, for example, there's these calcareous nanofossils. You know, these are organisms which you do need a microscope to see, and they were just starting to evolve at this time period, and they actually almost got wiped out during this time period, but very fortunately, they were able to survive. You know, a few genera of that group were able to make it into the Triassic, and in terms of on land as well, this event was actually the driving force which basically was able to let the dinosaurs evolve in the subsequent Jurassic period. So these mass extinctions, you know, it's easy to think of them as all doom and gloom because, you know, lots of life went extinct. But at the same time, they actually create these ecological niches in their recovery periods, which actually allow for organisms to take up these new ecological niches and actually basically help organisms evolve. So, you know, if it wasn't for this period, you know, we probably wouldn't, you know, well, I wouldn't say probably those dinosaurs which existed in the end Triassic, but we wouldn't, you know, it was this extinction event which basically allowed the dinosaurs to flourish in, you know, the millions of years that, you know, they were thriving after this period.
So what else is there to learn about this mass extinction event?
So in terms of what's going on in the marine realm, I think a picture globally is forming at the moment. There's lots of evidence of this hydrogen sulfide poisoning, lots of evidence of anoxia and lots of evidence of acidification. But what's less known is actually how the terrestrial environment perturbed. So something that we're having a look at now is wildfire activity. And basically, if there was extensive wildfire activity, which burned off a lot of vegetation, and obviously that would have been very detrimental to terrestrial organisms. I mean, you could look at the bushfires, which happened a couple of years ago, and, you know, how detrimental that was to the wildlife of Australia. And maybe something like that also occurred 201 million years ago. Then we can also have a look at some more of the soil processes, such as soil acidification or soil erosion, which would have been really detrimental to the plant life that was living during this time period as well. So there's still a lot to learn in the oceans, but I think certainly where I'm working in our research now at Curtin University for this event is that we're going to be looking at how the terrestrial environment was impacted during this time period.
Well, thank you very much for joining me on the record this morning and telling us more about your research into the mass marine extinction and what led to it.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
You're most welcome. Thank you very much. That was Dr. Callum Peter Fox from the WA Organic and Isotope Geochemistry Centre in Curtin School of Earth and Planetary Sciences, telling us more about the research that was found that found the two drivers that wiped out marine life during a mass extinction event 201 million years ago.